Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. David McCullough, in his Pulitzer Prize-winning biography of John Adams, second president of these United States, writes of an entry by Adams in his diary in 1760, when Adams turned 25. Quote, "I never shall shine till some animating occasion calls forth all my powers." Another diary entry read, "Why have I not genius to start some new thought, something that will surprise the world?" End of quote. Now, these were not unusual comments for young men of his time, those of wealth and influence, but Adams didn't hesitate to write about his ambition and self-absorption and vanity, at least in early adult life. Some years later, he was the defense lawyer for the 8 British soldiers on trial for the deaths caused at what became known as the Boston Massacre. In old age, when Adams reflected on his role in that trial, from that perspective of old age, Adams concluded that his part was, quote, "one of the best pieces of service I ever rendered to my country," end quote. The course of time and of life's experiences had mellowed the self-absorbed, ambitious, vain young adult male. There's nothing self-absorbed, ambitious, or vain about the apostles and evangelists. After all, if the account in Mark 15 of the young man who ran away naked at the arrest of Jesus is St. Mark writing about himself, I submit that that is hardly an account from a self-absorbed, ambitious, vain young man. No, the focus and foundation of his gospel account can be drawn from the bookends of chapter 1, verse 1, and this text, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." We can tell that St. Mark is fond of the term good news or gospel. He uses it 7 times, while the term is used only 4 times in the much longer account of St. Matthew, and not at all in the accounts of St. Luke and St. John. The Holy Spirit used St. Mark to proclaim how Jesus identified himself and the word for good news so very closely, as in chapter 8, where Jesus said, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Jesus and the good news are so intimately connected that a person cannot have one without the other. And so St. Mark is used by the Holy Spirit to relate the origin of the good news, Jesus. He's specific about who Jesus was and is. Jesus, the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, the Christ who was and is at the same time the Son of God. These are the 2 confessional mountaintops of St. Mark's gospel account. Our risen Lord is presented there as powerful in word and deed, and as challenging in his claims. Jesus' words are a source of repeated amazement to the people in the local synagogues. Jesus' deeds were also a cause for amazement, as in the witnesses to Jesus' multiple healing miracles recorded by St. Mark, in the stilling of the storm witnessed by the apostles, and in the feeding of the multitude witnessed by thousands. Jesus' claims presented another challenge. He as the forgiver of sins, as Lord of the Sabbath, even as the reformer of Jewish traditions. But the reactions to Jesus' astonishing words and deeds and claims are varied, just as they are in our day. Just as we would come across these varied reactions in our daily contacts and in mission activity. Thus, this gospel account is not about our efforts and success or anyone else's. Only after this rapid presentation of Jesus' words and deeds and claims, all interspersed with positive, negative, and ambiguous reactions, only then does Jesus ask his chosen apostles and his whole church, "But who do you say I am?" The Spirit reveals the answer to them, to us, and to believers of all time. He is the Christ, the Son of God, and Son of Man. And so in the second part of his gospel account, St. Mark becomes more and more specific about the identity of Jesus Christ. What kind of Christ is Jesus? He is a combination of Daniel's "one like the Son of Man" and Isaiah's "suffering servant." That theological theme of the suffering servant is applied by St. Mark most appropriately to Jesus Christ, and then by extension, St. Mark applies this theme to disciples of Jesus. Three times St. Mark has Jesus teaching his disciples, then and of all time, that they too must take up the cross and follow Jesus and become servants. We recall that suffering and sometimes death for Christ's cause was the lot of many Christians in Rome and Italy in particular during St. Mark's life in the early church. He seems to be encouraging his readers to take heart in their situations as those suffering servants. They are following the example of their Lord and his original disciples. They have hope in spite of present tribulations. For as Jesus passed through the cross to glory, so too will those who take up their cross and follow him. We are called and preserved and strengthened through the same gospel of Christ to be the same cross-bearing disciples, in particular to our American culture of death, of perversion, and of rebellion against the authority of God in his word. Very often the festival of a saint is intended chiefly to call attention to his martyrdom for Christ's sake. Better to say this on this day, that our thanksgivings are directed to God chiefly for the work, the gospel work of the living saint, the evangelist St. Mark. This precious gospel is not simply a message of individual salvation for you and for me. First and foremost, it's the account of the Lord Jesus, his apostles, and his church. The gospel, according to St. Mark, is a gospel of action. It tells us in simple language how the Lord went about doing good, how he attracted to himself a band of learners, the disciples and apostles. The gospel tells us the kind of work Jesus did, saving work, and the kind of words he spoke, saving words. A considerable part of St. Mark's gospel account is taken up with the Lord's ultimate work, his suffering, death, and resurrection. This Christ, the promised Messiah, the Son of God and Son of Man, is not dead, he is risen. And by his Holy Spirit, he works among his people, even as St. Mark primarily was writing to Gentile believers. The risen, ascended, and reigning Lord Jesus Christ continues to fill his people with his life, so that his gospel still is being reproduced among his people, among us. Though we cannot physically see the Lord, we can and are still his disciples, as truly as those were who were spoken of in the Gospel according to St. Mark. The blessed communion and fellowship of Christ and his disciples is being revived in us too, continually, by his word and sacrament. The kingdom of God is in our midst, as the risen Lord is here in his word and sacrament, and is no longer in the tomb. The Son of God is still going about doing good through us, this generation of his Spirit-filled disciples. The Holy Supper, whose institution is recorded also by St. Mark, is again and again realized among us at every celebration. The best way to observe St. Mark's Day would be to ask ourselves whether we, as the body of Christ, are truly living in that living truth of what St. Mark describes in his gospel. As the risen Christ appeared to his blessed apostles in his resurrection, so now he comes into our midst at times of worship and sacrament. He continues to make himself known to his faithful. The life of the church is the life of the gospel, even as recorded by his blessed servant, St. Mark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.